Single tasking. To maximize momentum and begin to take action more often than not, multitasking must become your sworn enemy. But you already knew this. This is similar to what we discussed earlier on motion for motion's sake versus intentional, focused action toward a goal. The only being who would be great at multitasking is an octopus with two heads. As in, to multitask effectively, one literally needs two brains and eight hands. It's just not within human capability to multitask successfully. No matter what you think or have been told, you simply can't do more than one thing efficiently at a time. So don't try to split your minutes in different directions. You can either do one thing well, or you can do three things very poorly. Let's take Bob. Bob is on the phone, on his tablet, and on a computer. He gets an email that seems urgent, so he starts to answer it while he's still talking on the phone. He completely loses track of the phone conversation, and he'll have to reread the report he pulled up on his computer to understand it. It only took one call or email to completely throw Bob off track and cause all of the things he was juggling to fall out of the air and land on his head. Any action he would have been able to take is now completely wasted, and hours later, he's still at square one. It's ironic that too much action can leave you with none at all, while also consuming your valuable energy stores. By multitasking, the only thing you'll achieve is that you'll end up continually distracting yourself, because your mind is focused on too many things to process them all equally and efficiently. According to a study in the New York Times, it can take up to 25 minutes to regain focus after being distracted. That's 25 minutes you'll waste trying to find your place and get into the right mindset again. In 2009, Sophie Leroy published a paper aptly titled, "Why Is It So Hard to Do My Work?" In it, she explained an effect that she called attention residue. Leroy noted that other researchers had studied the effect of multitasking on performance, but that in the modern work environment, once you reached a high enough level, it was more common to find people working on multiple projects sequentially. Going from one meeting to the next, starting to work on one project, and soon after having to transition to another, is just part of life in organizations, Leroy explained. This is essentially the modern version of multitasking, working on projects in short bursts and switching between them, not necessarily doing them all at once. People may not actually be working on multiple tasks at the same time, but it's nearly as bad to keep shifting between them in relatively quick succession. The problem identified by this research is that you cannot switch seamlessly between two tasks without a delay of sorts. When you switch from task A to task B, your attention doesn't immediately follow. A residue of your focus remains stuck, thinking about the original task. This becomes worse, and the residue becomes especially thick if your work on task A was unbounded and of low intensity before you switched. But even if you finish task A before moving on, your attention remains divided for a while. Leroy's results were clear. People experiencing attention residue after switching tasks are likely to demonstrate poor performance on that next task. And the more intense the residue, the worse the performance. We've all experienced that frantic moment when we're doing too many things at once and suddenly find ourselves unable to do any at all. Even though you're taking the purpose of this book to heart, you're suddenly stuck with the opposite. How can you concentrate on any task if you keep switching back and forth between two or more different things? You'll likely be stuck simply trying to make sense of everything and organize it so you can understand it. It will only force you to waste time trying to catch up to where you were instead of pushing forward. You'll take one step forward, but two steps back each time you try. There might be certain ways you can multitask 1% more effectively, but the overall lesson is just to avoid it whenever possible. Action requires a degree of focus and care, and multitasking is oxymoronic with those things. The answer to this problem is single tasking. What does this mean? To set everything else aside and not check, monitor, email, or even touch anything other than the current task you're working on. It requires singular focus and the purposeful and intentional tuning out of everything else. Switch off all your notifications and ditch your phone. If you must be on your computer, keep only one browser tab or program open at a time. Put yourself into a vacuum. If you grow bored or want to procrastinate, there's only one thing for you to do to exit the vacuum. A lot of single tasking is about consciously avoiding distractions that seem small and harmless. The biggest culprits? Your electronic devices. Ignore them when possible. Keep a spotless workspace so your eye doesn't catch something that needs cleaning or adjusting. Ideally, single tasking reduces your environment to a blank room because you shouldn't pay attention to any of it. Out of sight, out of mind. Attempt to take note of when you're being interrupted or subtly switching between tasks. This is hard to catch at first and will require you to make conscious decisions about your instincts. Something that will be very hard to resist is the compulsion to tell yourself that you must act on something immediately and interrupt your task. Remember, don't confuse urgent with important. Matters and people alike all want to masquerade as important. To combat this urge, set aside a notebook to take notes of ideas that will inevitably spring to mind regarding other tasks. Call this your distraction list. Just jot them down quickly and return to your primary goal. Whatever they're about, whether it's something that needs to be taken care of or something new and creative that pops into your head, take note, but don't act on them right when they come. Don't chase random thoughts, which are the mental equivalent of shiny objects. Some of these might make their way into your to-do list, but most will probably end up on the don't-do list. You can address them after your single tasking period is over, and you won't have forgotten anything. This tactic will keep your mind focused on one single task while setting you up for future successes. If you want to accomplish something, do it with 100% concentration and focus. Otherwise, you might just end up in a worse position than when you started. 25 minutes at a time. A practice that can help you push past inertia and into action is the Pomodoro technique. It uncovers that much of the reason we forego action is not necessarily because we can't get started, but because we cannot remain on task. This tactic concerns continuing along our path and using momentum rather than starting from ground zero. And of course, it ties in nicely with the concept of single tasking and only paying attention to what's in front of you. The Pomodoro technique was invented in the 1990s by an author named Francesco Cirillo. He discovered that if he broke his work schedule down into short sections, he timed with his tomato-shaped timer, his ability to focus on his work improved. Over time, he even found that his attention span lengthened and his capacity to concentrate on single projects over a longer period of time grew stronger. More than that, the timed and scheduled system of working reminded him to take regular breaks, which increased his motivation to work and improved his ability to solve problems creatively. He named his new technique Pomodoro after the timer that facilitated the whole process. If you want to enhance your productivity, increase your attention, and improve your concentration while taking time to relax and recuperate, the Pomodoro technique could be perfect for you. Here's how you do it. First, choose a task to complete. If you have several tasks or your project is very long and complex, you'll need to break your work into smaller portions that can be completed within 25 minutes. For example, if you want to read a book, you can divide it into 25-minute sections based on your reading speed, perhaps slightly more than you think you can fit in. You can always keep working after the timer goes off, but if you run out of things to do during a Pomodoro, you won't be able to complete the unit uninterrupted. You don't want that. Second, set your timer to 25 minutes. This will define the length of time you'll be working without any breaks or interruptions. Third, work, study, or learn until the timer rings. Once it rings, you can put a check mark or a sticker onto a piece of paper so that you know how many Pomodoros you've managed to complete in a single day. This lets you track your progress and really see how much time you've dedicated to your project. Fourth, take a short break. 5 minutes is a good period of time for a break, but it doesn't have to be exact. The whole point is to rest, stretch, and get yourself into good shape for another Pomodoro. Keep it short. When you're done with a Pomodoro, you can watch a YouTube video, go for a walk, or get a cup of water, tea, or coffee. Getting up, moving around, and relaxing your mind is the order of the day. But don't get too far off track, and don't you dare engage in anything that will take longer than 5 minutes. Fifth, after every 4 Pomodoros, take a longer break. This break can last between 15 and 25 minutes, but should be as long as you need to rest, recuperate, and feel fresh and ready to start another Pomodoro. This is your chance to really unwind for a bit, stretch your mental muscle, but know that you're probably in for another set of 4 Pomodoros. During your longer breaks, you can read about something else, spend time on your favorite social media sites, or even take a power nap. With a longer break, you have even more options for your own enjoyment. And after 4 Pomodoros, you can do it guilt-free, because you've already done a good amount of studying or learning that day. An essential aspect of this action method is that a Pomodoro is an inviolable, indivisible period of work. You can't start your timer, get distracted, and count the time you weren't working as a valid Pomodoro. If you're interrupted or discover yourself spacing out, you have to stop your Pomodoro and reset it when you're ready to begin again. The whole point of the method is to train yourself to be productive and to focus for 25 whole minutes. If you fail, you start again until your brain gets used to the rhythm. Sooner or later, you will become accustomed to this pace, and it'll be a lot easier to focus and pound out work for the entire Pomodoro. Interruptions from other people are harder to control, but Cirillo teaches a method to overcome that possibility too. His advice is to follow the inform, negotiate, call back method to handle untimely interruptions. Using it involves a 4-step process. This is similar to the distraction list you would create when single tasking. First, inform the person who approaches you that you're busy right now and can't interrupt your work at the moment. Second, negotiate when you can get back to them so they know you aren't going to ignore their needs. Third, schedule a follow-up. Setting a specific time to get back to them will reassure them and make them more likely to leave you to your Pomodoro. Fourth and finally, call them back when your Pomodoro is complete. Because you rescheduled their interruption, it becomes your responsibility to get back to them and engage with their needs. Remember, despite the strict need to continue Pomodoros for the entire 25 minutes, they're not a prison sentence. You are free to continue work past the 25-minute timer, as long as you remember to take a break once the chunk of work you choose to do is finished. Breaks also increase productivity by keeping you refreshed and ready for work at all hours of the day. Work, then rest. After you've trained with the Pomodoro technique for a while, it's possible to increase your attention span and improve your concentration even further by doubling the time span into the 50-10 rule. This encourages you to set your study and productivity timer to 50 instead of 25 minutes and lets you take a break twice as long once you finish. The benefit of this is that you're resting, recuperating, and pursuing other interests just as much, but your ability to focus and be productive should be even more finely honed. Being able to do more for longer without needing to take a break or being distracted by interruptions is always a good thing. However, you'll probably have to work up this. When the 50-10 rule becomes easy and manageable, you can push yourself one step further into the 60-60-30 method. The 60-60-30 method involves working for 60 minutes twice and then resting for 30 minutes. More specifically, it suggests using 2 iterations of the 50-10 method back-to-back, and then following those 2 sessions with resting for 30 minutes. Setting a timer when you work and rest allows you to avoid looking at the clock, and at this point, working or studying for 50 minutes straight should feel fairly natural. This method just amps up the process further while reminding you to stay refreshed and rested as you're getting stuff done. Overall, it should be clear why these methods of focusing are successful at battling your short attention span. Take rapid action. Get productive, motivated, and energized. Stop overthinking and procrastinating. Written by Patrick King. Narrated by Russell Newton.